good morning. I have to confess, my mind was on food when I prepared this. So the name of the message is Breakfast is Ready. You know, that story that we just heard really brings back memories, because back when Caleb was small and Christina and Cassandra, we did a David Goliath story in front of the church. Very similar. But my brother, Reg, was the bear. And he had a bear costume on, and he was in the back room like that, and Mike said, and the bear came out. And my brother goes, and rushes out, and all the kids went, ah! But it's, you know, that's what we just experienced, is how children receive. They receive deep spiritual truths through this kind of venue. And that's why we're doing it. And that's why the 180 program is dear to our heart. Okay, so I want to read to you Isaiah 54:10 this morning. It says, for the mountains may depart and the hills disappear, but my kindness shall not leave you. My promise of peace for you will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy upon you. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the beautiful traits of God's kindness. How lasting his kindness is. He says that his kindness doesn't leave us. And even if the coastal mountains that we see outside could be moved, God says his kindness will never leave us. It's exciting to me. It's an exciting joy that my tainted soul Yeah, this is what it was that God spoke to me. That the Almighty would put this promise in writing. That his kindness would never leave me. And he would put it down in writing and make a promise. And in this scripture it says, his promises can't be broken. So he made a promise over 2,000 years ago. And then he made sure that he got Isaiah to put it down in writing, so that today we could read it and be encouraged. So it's a joy to me that in my incompleteness, when I have failed, if I'm not doing well, his promise doesn't get broken. That's what the Lord was speaking to me, that we walk through life and we see all sorts of things in life that change. So we see people make promises and then break them. It affects us, our lives, and we feel that. We see all sorts of change in what happens around us. What used to work doesn't work today. And what God showed me is that in our life, as we walk through life, and even though we do not do life perfectly, it doesn't change God. He is unchangeable. And so why would I want to know about God's character? So I could see what doesn't change. So I could understand where I stand with God, where we stand with God. Only from a merciful Savior do we receive such enduring and unchanging love. Today in our life, we need something that endures, something that lasts longer than the things that surround us. All sorts of things change for us, but love of God towards us and with us does not change. And in the Christian walk, as we walk with God, we in ourselves believe sometimes that it does change. We believe that God's promise to be kind to us, he's not going to be kind to us. Maybe because we have a tainted soul. Maybe because of something that we did. Or maybe we have forgotten to draw near to God. But it doesn't change God. This is important for us as Christians, that we would know God and how he is, his character. If he is a God that changes his mind constantly, this would be crippling. But if he is a God that doesn't change his mind, that if he said, I promise never to leave you or forsake you, even if your heart condemns you, I am bigger than your heart. If he promises it and we understand God, we will understand that we are secure. Not because we did something to make ourselves strong to stand with God, but that he did something to secure us so that he would keep us. And if he keeps us, then nothing can take us away from him. I find it beautiful that he would say these kinds of words. Listen. It would take a great power to move those mountains outside. But my kindness shall never leave you. Nobody, no power can remove my kindness from you. Why is he emphasizing kindness? Because he is, and he always is, good. He's always kind to us. We as humans and Christians sometimes believe God is angry at us. Sometimes believe he is distant from us. Sometimes we believe he's not listening to us. These are not from God. This is not his character. He is with us. He is kind to us. It says that his kindness will not leave us, and his promise of peace for us will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy upon us. You know, an asteroid might have the power to move the mountains, but there's no power, not past, present, or future, that can change God's kindness and mercy. As it says in Isaiah, God's kindness and mercy are not given once in a while in small amounts. But his kindness is left with us and does not leave us. And his mercy is not simply given to us, but it rests upon us like a warm blanket. These are the language that's found in the scriptures when God describes to us himself. He's describing to us himself so that we could learn of him, so that we could see he is kind. He is not saying you had 10 points to complete and you did 8, so you're in trouble. No, he is kind to you when you do 5. He is good to you. He loves you. It says in Isaiah, it says, the promises of God will never be broken. So, there's a scripture that says, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. And what that means is that men do not have the ability to always be true, but God does. And so if he says he'll never break his promise, he won't. And so we can trust in God safely. So today, us, precious believers in Christ, can be rest assured that we haven't invested our faith in Jesus and the everlasting Father in vain. We can afford to fully trust we can afford to invest our faith in God. And there's purpose for this. In John 21, verses 3 to 12, it says the disciples went fishing. So, it is a biblical activity. Fishing. And it says they caught nothing that night. That's also true sometimes when you go fishing. You catch nothing. But then it says the sun came up and Jesus was standing on the beach. But they didn't recognize him. They were about 300 feet off the shoreline. So Jesus spoke to them and he said, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" That's where the food comes in. They answered, "No." He said, "Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." They did what he said, and all of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull in the net. That's how many fish. Then John said to Peter, "It's the master." They didn't recognize him. They were far enough away. And John's like, and I find this very interesting because of the next statement. When Peter realized that it was the master, John had to let Peter know. Peter was a man all heart and brawn. That was Peter. He didn't always think. He was all heart. Jesus was sitting with the disciples telling them he had to go to the cross, that he had to die. Peter stood up and said, "No way. If you die, I die." He was all heart. He was all in, but he just had it wrong. So he had all heart and he was all brawn. When they came to get Jesus to fulfill the scriptures that Jesus knew would be fulfilled, Peter took a sword and cut off the ear of a servant. You know, so he wasn't a very good aim, and he picked on the servant. But he had something. Peter had something, right? And I'm going to share it with you in this next little bit of the scriptures. When Peter, a man who was all heart and all brawn, realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was naked. Sometimes when the master shows up, we're found naked. Sometimes our life is laid bare. Sometimes we're found out. We're naked. Listen to what Peter does when Jesus shows up and he's got no clothes on. He first puts the clothes on and then dove into the sea. He hightailed it right towards Jesus, right towards him. He swam with all his might. The other disciples came in by boat, for they were not far off from land, about 100 yards or 300 feet. And they were pulling the fish along because they couldn't get them into the boat. The net had to stay in the water. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire with fish and bread cooking on it. Peter forgot that his comrades needed help with those fish. Peter was standing on a boat, naked, working, fishing, and his thinking process went like this. Put some clothes on, dive in the water, go see Jesus. He's your best friend ever. Go be with him. That's how his thinking processes went. Listen to what Jesus said. They got there. There was a fire. There was fish cooking. There was bread cooking. And Jesus said, "Bring me some of the fish you've caught." Simon Peter joined his friends and pulled the net ashore. Jesus reminded Peter nicely, "Hey, your buddies need help. Bring me some of those fish." And they pulled the net ashore. Why am I sharing this story? Well, this is a story, a real story, about the character of God. How he walked. How he related. How he was with his men. So Peter went and helped them. And I put in here, Jesus said, bring me some fish that you caught. I want to blacken some with this new Cajun spice I picked up at the market. That's not in the Bible. But I thought that's probably kind of what Jesus would say. because if we just read the Bible, it's a little bit, they're squishing in a lot of activity into a little verse. But normally in life, if we're cooking, we're putting together something for a meal for our friends, we put on a spread, you know? And I just can see Jesus, he's like not walking on the beach saying, hey guys, get over here, we got some miracles to do. He's saying, did you catch anything? He's interested in their life. How's it going? Peter, who doesn't always think first, dives into the water and swims to Jesus. Are we doing miracles today? You know, Peter's all into it. But Jesus treats these people like people. He treats them like family. He brings them close. He cooks them breakfast. And so they pulled the net ashore. They caught 153 big fish. They weren't little. They were big. And even with all those fish, the net did not rip. Then Jesus said these beautiful words. Breakfast is ready. That's God Almighty. Have you ever made breakfast for somebody? It's beautiful. I get up. I get the eggs out. I get the bacon out. I get the toast out. I crank up the heat. I throw some butter in the pan, sizzle it up. Make breakfast. People get out of bed. Breakfast is ready. You sit down, you have a glass of orange juice, you eat together, you pray. Love is shared, family, community. Jesus knew something about connecting. How to connect with people. He was not organized religion. Okay, he was not. He was family, community. He also was about the work, right? Pull those fish in. I'm pretty sure they cleaned them. That's 153 fish to clean. He's also about the work, but he's also about the great times that happen around a campfire and about cooking food and eating together, being on the beach, going fishing, and smoked salmon. So this is our Lord, the same God that said, my kindness will not leave you. It is lasting, enduring. It will not dissipate and grow weak. My commitment, my promise, my covenant with you will never be broken. In that kind of community and in that kind of family, you have time to build relationships. You have time to cook breakfast for people, to come together and love one another. What kind of activity was Jesus doing? Was it godly? Was it spiritual? Was it building his church? Because that's what he said he came to do, to build his church. And that's what he chose to do, make breakfast. I think it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I really believe that that we need to have feasting. We are a community, a family. And I believe that feasting is spiritual and the building of the kingdom. And it's fun. I love it. When I get together with you guys, we have a meal together and we visit and we laugh and we play Quirkle if we ever do that. It's a good game. Marco Polo. It's all fun. And it's a part of our Christian faith. It's a part of building the kingdom of God. And those people who are going to become become part of the body of Christ and the community of God, they will come into these environments because this is our family. I didn't stick to my notes. So this is what I'd like to close with. I don't know if it's too quick or not. What time is it? Still good? Okay. I want to, it's true, we're hungry now. That's what I said. I was thinking about food when I prepared this. But this is what came to me. This is one little piece of Jesus's life. We as Christians need to, like Peter, come close to Jesus. We as Christians need to learn of him so that we can mimic what he does, so that we are giving ourselves permission to love one another and to serve one another and to be a beautiful community. So we go from here not just taking this about Jesus, but we as Christians get close to him. We learn of him through the scriptures. We learn of him through fellowship with one another. We learn of him through our prayer life because he answers our conversations with him. That's a promise. He's not going to break it. Now, if you start asking to win the lotto, that might not happen. But asking him good things, to come close, to learn of him, to build a beautiful community, these things he answers. My children are serving Jesus, but I asked Jesus for that before they were born. He answered that prayer. He does answer. So, concerning Jesus, we don't need to put ourselves on a low Jesus diet. You know, I'm going to take a little bit of Jesus today. I'm going to take a little bit of Jesus on Monday morning or maybe Wednesday night. And that's it. We don't need to put ourselves on a low Jesus diet. There's nothing saying that we have to do that. In fact, we should actually put ourselves on all you can eat Jesus. Okay? We should get as much of Jesus as we can, so that we understand as much of God as we can, so that we can mimic as much of him as we can. And it's beautiful, and it turns out beautiful. So that's filling yourself daily with the gospel. In Matthew 20:28, and I'll close with this scripture, it says, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And then after cooking breakfast, to give away his life. First he came not to be served, but to serve. Then after he serves, it says, he planned to give away his life in exchange. He didn't give it away in vain. He gave away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage. Hostage to beliefs like God doesn't care, that he isn't close, that he breaks his promises, that he's not kind, that he's not with us, he never hears us. Hostages to thoughts like that. He said, I'm going to give my life away in exchange that those hostages get free. Free to love, free to care, free to live life out in community. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.